Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Royce, from Willits High School, and...
me, Talon from Laytonville High School, and...
Teo from Laytonville High School.
Today, our topic is Revisioning High School Part 5. Over the 15 years of its existence, Youth Speaks Out has had four programs exploring the possible changes to the way in which we configure high school. All of these shows are available to listen to at our website, www.youthspeaksout.net.
This versioning of Revisioning will begin with the insights of the current principal of the Willits Charter School, John Kirchhoff. John was on a panel at an educational forum hosted by Leadership Mendocino last month. John's remarks were recorded by our show's director, Dan Roberts, and edited into the 20-minute long segment we are about to hear. After we hear the recording, we will describe our experiences with the high school and then open the phone lines so that you can join in the discussion. Here is the recording of John Kirchhoff.
John Kirchhoff, who is the director principal of Willits Charter School, grades 6 through 12, spending 26 years in Northern California and 15 years here in Willits, playing an incredible number of roles: intervention specialist, crisis counselor, substance abuse counselor for Mendocino County Health and Human Services, private contractor with the county and the juvenile probation system, and this is his second year as principal director of Willits Charter School, and relocating in July. So we need to get everything out of him we possibly can in the next few months and in this conversation today.
I work for the Willits Charter School. It's a public charter charters issued by Willits Unified School District, and our mission is to educate grades 6 through 12. Anyone can come to our school so long as they go within our district, and if they're from the out-of-district, they do come in if there's spots available. I describe Willits Charter School as part of a larger community, though. I've worked in most middle schools and high schools in Mendocino County, and there's a huge group of committed people trying to educate our children, and I would include us in that team. And for me, education, yeah, we have the classroom, we have the curriculum, we have the teachers and the students, but as these ladies alluded to, it's about a family support system. And I think what makes Willits Charter School unique is our focus on family connections and family involvement in the child's education. And without that, I think the classroom itself is kind of hobbled and hamstrung. It's not as functional. So we do our best to involve the families and support services throughout the community to help our kids get their education. And I think in this day and age, it really is challenging for children to show up for school with the distractions and with the other enticements of what's in their world, along with the socioeconomic demographics in our community. So for me, I always think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Until those basic needs are met, people usually can't focus on the next thing. And I think it's our job as educators and communities to help those basic needs be met so the kids can show up in their lives for education. And we've had a lot of interaction with Mendocino College and NCO, and I think that's that collaborative nature that serves children and families the best, is to break down those walls of divisions and budgets and say, what is our ultimate purpose here as community members and leaders in our community? And how do we step up for not just this segment of the family or the community, but how do we step up for the families that build a community? Really, I don't like to look at barriers. I don't like to look at them as a force to contend with. I like to assume they're not going to be there. And that, for me, has worked. I expect the best out of the people that are also serving families and kids. So when I call for an appointment, I expect to get it. When I knocked on a principal's door when I was a youth worker or a substance abuse counselor, I expected to be welcomed into the office and to have a few minutes of their time. And I rarely experienced the other. And I think part of that is like I said, you know, we carry, in my opinion, forward our intention of service, especially as leaders in the community. And I think if we come from that place, people feel it. That energy is in the room and they make time. And I try to give that back in the same way as an administrator at the school. If a parent comes in, rarely do I not have time to have them in my office and sit down. I rarely ask them to schedule another appointment. If it's important enough for them to come into my office and to ask for my time, whether it's by phone or in person, I assume that's my responsibility as a community member, not just as administrator, to respond to that human being in front of me. And, you know, that's the modeling and the lessons that we teach our kids. That's the kind of parent and worker they're going to be when they grow up. And for me, that mentoring culture, it's lacking in many communities. And it's lacking in our own in some respects. You know, we like to make these divisions around professionalism and degrees and income. And, you know, I'm really not a traditional administrator. And I probably wrote people the wrong way sometimes when I talk about youth development and what I'd like to see for kids. But I'd love to see a paradigm shift from the emphasis on income to an emphasis on meaning. And when I have my conversations with students about what their path is going to be, and again, I'm not saying it's an easier path. In fact, sometimes it's more difficult, but I always encourage them to, you know, don't chase the money, chase the meaning, and live within those means, because that's what's going to serve us and our families. You know, I mean, I know that we all have stories either in our own family or people that we've heard about or know. I'll think of my uncle who spent, you know, 35 years doing a job he hated to retire, to sail around the world. By the end, he was physically and emotionally incapable of following that dream. And he died within 3 years of retirement of stress-related illnesses that developed in chasing that dream. But, you know, so for me, you know, I'd really like to see us as communities value the dreaming of the kids, you know, and encouraging them wherever their passion is, you know, because those passions change. I mean, I never wanted to set foot in another school after my second high school. My third high school inspired me, a teacher in particular, and made me want to go to college. I went to college right out of high school, out of my third one. I wasn't prepared. I didn't learn the study skills or the academics, but I was smart. But I had other challenges, those Maslow's needs, and I spent 3 semesters at University of Maryland and failed out miserably. I went into the military, for good, bad, or indifferent. Came out and went back to school. I was ready. I was motivated. And for me, I guess what success is when I see a shift in the students from that extrinsic motivational factors to the intrinsic. That's when we've succeeded with a kid, because, you know, I've worked with probation, I've worked with disciplinary policies in our school and rules and consequences at home, working with families, and those are all extrinsic. It's like, how do we corral this child into compliance? And, you know, on some level, for safety and for whatever reason, social reasons, we need to do that on some level. But when I see a shift from a kid that says, you know, John, you know what I'm thinking about doing? Wow, what are you thinking about doing? That's great. And for me, it could be just as beneficial to graduate high school, buy a good pair of hiking boots and a backpack, and hit the road in Europe for a year. You know, I have friends and relatives that have done that, and it's inspired them, and it's led to other things, and they're as successful or more successful than most people I know. But it's not the traditional path. And so for me, to spend that fortune on private school or university because it's what's supposed to happen, I think it's a disservice to kids. I think it does interrupt that lifelong learning cycle, because then I would imagine people get out of college and say, I'll never set foot in another college again, because it was this extrinsic force. You know, this is what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, I come from a family that's had some hardships around that, where people in my family have given up and left the planet because they weren't supported in the dream direction and they couldn't handle the other one. So for me, I look at every family and every kid as, you know, what are they looking for? And, you know, there are no guaranteed formulas for success. You know, there aren't. You know, there may have been a very high percentage chance if you got a 4-year degree, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you're dialed. You know, you went to a company, you know, General Electric or Ford, and you stayed with them for 30, 40 years, and you you know, had a golden parachute pension plan. That's not happening anymore. And the average person, I think, changes jobs or careers 8 to 10 times in their lifetime. And if we don't kind of prepare kids in a positive way to accept that, you know, I'm on my, I don't know what career. But that's what I do. And it's not because, you know, I can't continue in what I'm doing. It's because I want to be in control of that future. And I want to live as many lives in a productive, community-based way as I can. Not everybody's into that. But just like people in my life, like my mom, have supported me in my dreaming, that's what kept me going. You know, I was about to open up a restaurant, and the opportunity came, and the opening day was 3 weeks later, which is breaking every rule. And I had a lot of people in my life saying, John, you're crazy. Why would you do that? You're going to fail. And at one point, about a week and a half into it, I, you know, called my mom. I always do. And told her, you know, I don't think I'm going to do this. And she goes, Johnny, what are you doing? And I said, you know, people are just telling me I'm crazy, you know. I haven't met with another restaurateur. I've never run a restaurant, this and that. And she told me something that I'll never forget. And she said, you know, Johnny, there's enough people in the world. They're a dime a dozen. They're going to ant on your dreams every day. Surround yourself with people that support you, that believe in you, even if they don't understand what you're doing. And that's what I did. We were open 3 years. We were breaking even at 3 years. That's ahead of the curve. We decided to close. We were done, and we wanted to live another dream. That's when we came to Willits. So, you know, for me, success is that, you know, when do those kids and the families start supporting that child's dream? And we don't always understand it. You know, I'll tell every teenager I work with, I have no idea what it's like to be a teenager in 2014 in Willits, California. Period. And nobody in this room does. You know, and if we don't live with that kind of knowledge that we don't know what it's like for them, then we tend to tell them what's best for us, not what's best for them. I'm thinking of two things, and one is something we're trying to do at the charter school, which is building skills, life skills, not just the academic skills, which I think are very important. But our culinary arts program, teaching kids to be adept in a kitchen, I mean, that's a life skill that keeps giving all the time. To home economics, you know, it's been something that's been kind of gutted from our educational system, except for in wealthy districts. They still teach finance, personal finance, and, you know, how to take care of a home and how to open up a checking account. We're trying to initiate that more and more with our kids. For me, it's really about developing that student that's ready to engage in their life. And to do that, they need to be able to create a household, to not be dependent on fast foods and convenience foods, to not, you know, have to hire out for everything. You know, my father taught me one thing, and it was, Johnny, do this. And didn't give me a lot of direction, but it taught me that I could learn. And if the kids come out ready to learn and having the confidence that they can learn what's put in front of them, I think that's a powerful thing. The second thing that I think is really underpinning everything we need is funding. There is no way our county, especially Willits, is coming out of their educational budget crisis by themselves, not without gutting beyond bone. And it's not a local solution, and I know what some people think it is, but I don't think you can cut enough to dig out of this hole, and I don't think it's our fault. I've got relatives that live in communities where the kids are funded almost $20,000 per child. We get, you know, at Willits Charter, just a little over $6,000 per child. And we do the best we can with that, but I'm constantly forced to make these Sophie choices of whether I have more aides or whether I have another full-time teacher. I'm relocating, and I hope to come back in the next 5 years. And what I'd like to see is a well-funded school system where teachers and administrators can focus on the purpose of their work and not on, you know, the crumbs on the floor and what we're going to do with them, how we're going to divvy them up. For me, it's heartbreaking. I was at the school board meeting. We were presenting our annual report to the district, and you know, one of my friends who's a teacher at one of our schools made a heartfelt speech about collaboration and about, you know, and he was directing it towards not only the charter school, but also towards the school board and towards the administration and, you know, for all of us to really remember why we're here and why we chose that professional field. And for me, it's back to following your dreams. And I always encourage people, if that's not their dream and they're just in there pulling a check, please leave and find something that you're passionate about, because we're fighting when we should be caring for the kids. So I'd like to see a fully funded school system where we're not counting enrollment dollars, which I know the college has to do, and I know that we have to pay attention to. But, you know, in my opinion, myself, along with other people within the school districts that I work with, when we talk about school placement, I take that administrator hat off. I know they do too, and we find the best place for that student, regardless of whether it takes something from my enrollment or theirs, and I believe in that. And I think the more we don't have to worry and bicker about the money, and it's literally, you know, we're down to dollars, literally dollars people are scrambling for, you know, I think that would be a huge benefit to our kids, our family, and our community, because communities grow with the school system. And some people disagree with me, but when families come in, especially young families that have a lot of earning potential in their lives yet to have, they look for schools for their kids. And if they step into our community and read our newspapers and check our, you know, the status, the pulse of our school system and see bickering and funding problems, they move on to the next community and they look for another town. It's very, very important to young families where their kids go to school. So if we want to grow our community, the economy, you know, the economic potential in Mendocino County, especially in the waning years of our marijuana industry, which it is, you know, it may always be here, but it's not what it was. We have to grow this economy in a way that supports young families. And to do that, like I said, the school system has to be solid and unquestionably funded with integrity for the kids. You know, obviously there's a reason to take this Leadership Mendocino course, and I'm assuming that people are engaged and want to really add to our community here. And I encourage you to look for ways to interface with the schools. And Willis Charter School is a public school. It's a public charter. And a lot of people get confused because there's a lot of for-profit charters, and they're very different. You know, we don't require tuition. We don't turn anybody away. If there's a spot, they got it. So we're part of the public school system, but yet we're not held to all the education codes. So that allows us to be kind of an incubator of new ideas. So we can take things and run with them in the classroom and on a school-wide basis that then the larger systems, which have a little harder time adjusting and turning back if something's not working, can you know, see what we're doing and maybe, okay, that's working, we'll try that. And I've seen that in our schools. Like I said, I've worked in all these schools, and I've seen them adopt some of the things that the charter school has done in the last 13, 14 years. And for me, like I said, whether you have kids in the school system or not, the adults in the community, whatever your skill is, please approach an administrator, approach a school site, and see whether there's something that you could offer. And sometimes the timing's just not right, and people will get turned away, but keep coming back because we need the adults to help mentor these kids. And this is no disrespect to any families that I've worked with or know, but oftentimes the families, for one reason or another, can't show up in that way. And, you know, it really takes all of us to role model for these kids, whether it's on the street, in the park, in the theater. I mean, just being solid adults in kids' lives, you know, in youth development, there's kind of a little adage, you know, it takes one individual, it takes one person to make a genuine, authentic connection with a young person that could change their life. And I was fortunate, I could count three, you know. I could count my drill sergeant, I could count Clive Adams, who I first moved out and lived with out at Emmendale when I came to Willits. And I can think of my father. And they all had different strengths, and I had to kind of pull the best from each one. But without them, Miss Smith, ninth grade. I was probably the most challenging middle school and high school student you'll ever meet. No student that I've ever worked with ever hits my point of challenge in the classroom or in the school or in the community, I promise you. And she spun a negative into a positive. We were at a parent night in her health class, and she gave me a little award for the most knowledgeable, because I would share what I knew, but she didn't share that part, you know? She wouldn't share that part. She had me stand up and gave me an authentic appreciation, and it was one of the few I got in school. And in another assembly, I helped Mr. McLeese, who was a social studies teacher that I tormented, and he asked me one weekend to help him move some wrestling mats across town, and I helped him, and 3 weeks later, he gives me a citizenship pin at an all-school assembly. Never forget it. And in my true form, as they were announcing, you know, so-and-so is going to get this award, I'd stand up for everyone, go, oh, yeah, oh, you know, and play that clown. And I did it for that one, and my name came up. And I immediately went, you know, and it touched me. And I'll never forget that. So little interactions with young people. One of my first jobs was an outreach worker for the Youth Project, and I had to basically kind of investigate the park and find homeless kids and out-of-school kids and try to help them back into school. And I spent the first 3 days before my job started just sitting on a bench looking, and I watched group after group, individual after individual of adults take the long road around groups of teenagers. They wouldn't interact. They wouldn't walk past them close enough to hear them. They didn't want to take the risk of just saying hello. And so I decided that if I was going to start this kind of work in my community, that's where I'd start. And I walked up to these circles, and I'd sit down with them, and they go, who is this? You know, I tell them so they weren't scared of me. You know, I work for somebody, don't worry. anyway, you get my point. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to the amazing educators we have here.
You are listening to Youth Speaks Out. The recording we just listened to was John Kircherow, principal of the Willits Charter School, speaking to an educational forum at the Leadership Mendocino 3 weeks ago. I am Royce from Willits High School, and...
I'm Talon from Laydonville High School, and...
Teo from Laydonville High School.
We're going to discuss what John said for 10 or 15 minutes, and then we will want you to call in and let us know how you feel about the current form of high school. Our number will be 707-456-9991. We'll let you know when it's time to call. One of the points that John made was the success in education is a shift from the youth extrinsic motivation to the intrinsic motivation. That is, developing an inner passion in the student to want to learn, to seek knowledge willingly instead of being forced to study. Let's go around and describe what subjects we have found ourselves personally motivated to study.
Well, I personally have only experienced a few things that I've actually been personally motivated to go and find knowledge in. One of them not even being a school subject, just wanting to play guitar, wanting to music. I just love music. And the other actually being physics, which was a class that I actually truly enjoyed and decided to take an interest in outside of class during my sophomore year. That's just me.
Anything to you?
History. When I'm in a history class, I don't learn about things that I want to learn. Never. You know, it's like going through American history, and we spend, 7 months on the Civil War. And it's like, it's really, you know, it might be, you know, a big point, but it doesn't affect anything very much. It's like 7 weeks on the Civil War. Why would we need to spend that much time on the Civil War? Why can't we learn about, like, you know, the secret wars that we had in, like, South Africa and stuff? They just don't get mentioned in American history because we aren't proud of it. And so, like, I didn't get to learn anything about what happened in, you know, like, the past, like, 80 years from now. Like, you don't learn about that. It's just not in a history textbook that's, you know, 60 years old and hasn't, you know, doesn't have the same amount of information that is now being released in newer textbooks because there's no money for it. So I spent a lot of time researching things like, you know, what America has done in U.S. history, because I didn't need to learn about the Civil War. Maybe kind of get the first point in the first little section of the book. So,
I definitely have had a strong interest in history too, just knowing from our past and, you know, learning from it. I'm definitely still looking for my passions in life. I don't have nearly anything figured out yet. I just tend to go off what I enjoy doing, and not having everything figured out it's definitely interesting when you're a senior, because everyone seems to think that you need to know exactly what you're doing for the rest of your life right now, which is pretty hard for anybody to know. But what I like doing is I like art. I like acting. I'm pretty competent in both of those. Studying in school, I haven't taken any drama classes in school because I haven't had time for them. I've only taken a year and a half of art, so I haven't done much studying through the educational system, but I would have liked to, I guess. But I think those are my beginning passions.
Royce, what classes or teachers have inspired you?
I've had a lot of inspirational teachers. I've taken 3 years of Spanish. I'm nowhere even close to being fluent in Spanish, but oh man, Senora, my teacher in that class, she's so great. I'm not a very good student, I guess, in that, but she's been so fantastic. And then my art teacher, Carolyn Bakewell, I've only been in her class 3 semesters, I think. I guess this one doesn't really count. I'm a TA in there, but I've known her all my life, and just going into class and just seeing what she's done inspires me to want to create even better art. Like you said you really enjoyed physics. I have a really neat science teacher. This is his second year, and he's a really goofy guy, and he's pretty young, so I guess he's down hippity with us young folks or whatever. But he's really great to hang out with. He can be a hard teacher sometimes, but it's definitely fun, and that definitely helps to learn in those classes.
Okay. Another point John made was that the average American now changes jobs or careers 8 times in a lifetime. A college degree is not a guarantee of a job. This means we need to develop flexibility and the ability to evolve our skills. Do you think that high school is preparing us to adapt to changing job markets? This is directed at you, Tao.
I don't think anybody can say what the job markets will turn out to be. Because there's so much, you know, people change. And so, you know, it might be that computers stop being used because of some big problem with, I don't know.
Or like a new influx of technology.
Screw with the virus, maybe. That just, like, wipes out the old computers and no one will be able to figure it. And so people just stop using computers. So, you know, that huge market could just go away. Or, like, the whole fast food thing. Like, it's brought up to a whole new level because, like, 50 people die at one thing, the McDonald's, for eating their burgers. And so people just stop eating it because it, you know, becomes a bad idea. And so what there will be for jobs, there's no way to tell. So I don't really think high school has very much of a chance to be able to prepare us for who knows what. That's my opinion on it.
So, yeah, I mean, they definitely try to do their best, but in quite a few areas, they fall short. We're definitely not as flexible as we could be. They teach us to believe that English, history, math, and science are the only things in life that are actually going to affect us. And with their knowledge of these, we can actually get by in life. But the truth is, construction is a very common job. And that seems to help more people live their lives than science, in my opinion. I mean, maybe not to the same degree of luxury, but definitely bulk. So it is my general opinion that increasing the range of education would be something that would help to make us more flexible and prepare us better for our future.
I definitely agree with what you just said, Talon. A lot of the required classes are like science, math, English, and those are like college track classes. But like common everyday knowledge classes are all electives. Like what I'm interested in, art, is like elective. Theater doesn't even have class anymore. We have a construction class, elective. We have a word working class, elective. We have an ag mechanics class, elective. We have an ag biology. That's a science, but it's pretty elective, I would say. Yeah. We have a culinary class. That's a club after school. Did I just mention theater? Theater is a club after school. What else? Just like so many things that there's secretary. Class, computer secretary knowledge, yeah, class, yeah. Thing. That's an elective. Anyway, just common everyday stuff is elective in the schools. And like if you're in a college track in a public school, then you're not going to be able to get into these classes, because in my personal school career, if I wanted to take ag mechanics so I could learn how to weld this year. I wanted to take Adobe Micromedia so I could learn how to like work with animations. I couldn't take either of those classes because I had AP Econ and Government, and I had what was the other one? I had CP. No, honors physics first period, and then I had econ second period, which both of those classes cover the classes that I wanted to take, the time periods that I wanted to take them. So that's pretty hard. That, like, the scheduling and the money, they conflict between the college career track and just like the everyday knowledge, even fun things that you want to take in school. It conflicts.
Yeah, essentially, they make you have to choose between having everyday knowledge, having something that could in the direct future be useful to you, or going and living without those skills for a little while and going to a college. But not everybody has that luxury. Not everybody has the money. Not everybody has the time. It's all a big conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, like history and English and science, they're all good skills to know. They're good common, they're the common everyday skills. But like, I would like to have time in my school career to be like, I wonder how I can make a table. I wonder how I can weld together something. I wonder how we can build a house. I wonder what a tibia and a fibula are. But you don't have time if you're going through college classes. And you don't need to be in AP classes or like honors and stuff, but you kind of do if you're going for college.
It's increased competition.
The competition
when you're going for colleges. If you don't have honors and AP classes, I mean honors, they don't even really end up caring about it. If you don't have AP classes, which are supposedly the hardest classes you can take in high school without going to a college, then it's incredibly difficult. Kind of lost where I was going with this actually.
What kind of practical everyday classes do you guys have at Laytonville?
Almost none. We have study skills classes, which are where you go and sit down and read. It's not very good study skills, in my opinion. But we also have things like woodshop, where you learn how to like build tables, and it's a really cool class. But the teacher also teaches guitar building, so you can learn how to build a guitar. But that's just not everyday enough. That's not putting like food on your table in the very immediate future. The classes that I'd love to see would be things like,
money management.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, just something that shows you how to like maybe lead like, your life, you
know, like learn like how to like apply for a job with like a resume or something.
And you know, do your taxes you and everything.
Yeah.
Taxes or mortgage or.
In my recent life, it'd be great to have like a car mechanics class, yeah. Because I have a car and I don't know like I recently had to change a tire out on one of our vehicles. I had no idea how to do that. I imagine like no one in high school knows how to do that, or a large amount of the community today doesn't know how to change out a tire, and they go to have someone else do it. You could save money in the long run, or even knows how to do their own taxes, or to sign up to vote, or knows how the government works. I mean, just classes that help with like the everyday.
Yeah. I mean, we have, like, government and stuff, but yeah, with, like, taxes and anything involving, like, money, economics in high school doesn't cover how to, rule your life around around money. And really, isn't that kind of, like, what economics should be aiming for? It's great if you have a knowledge of how to invest things, but if you don't have the money to invest, what's the point?
Yeah. Let me see. So, John said that we should encourage the youth into chasing the meaning rather than chasing the money. So, what do you guys think that means?
I think that's like, if you like, I don't know, you want to be an artist, but you don't want to do art because nobody really makes money doing art. Then you're going to take your, it's like you have to be really good.
Yeah, it's
and
like
1%, most people don't make money when they're alive. It's like their products become famous later.
Yeah, because they can't produce them anymore.
It's art. And so then people start, well, this thing, great art. So people, like, they go for a job, like, sitting at a desk, maybe working for, like, an insurance company, where all they do is sit there and they type and answer phone calls and, do work. And they just sit and they're tired and lazy and bored and don't want to be doing it. And so they really want to be doing art. And so they'll live their life just kind of meaningless and bored. It's like a good portion, like 8 hours, maybe 12 hours of your day, you aren't doing it. You're doing this meaningless task you don't want to do. Instead of, if you wanted to be, let's say, an artist, you get your art, you'd spend time that you enjoy, makes you happy, and if you're happy, you're more likely to be healthy than... you're healthy, you're happy, it's two really linked things.
Yeah.
And so, live longer, have more fun, make money, your own way.
It's like you either have to choose between doing something that you love or doing something to make money. I know a couple of my friends at the high school that they're thinking about going into the medical field and becoming anesthesiologists. Mm-hmm. Someone asked one of my friends, they're like, why are you going to do this? And they're like, well, basically just because the field gets like a crazy amount of cash, yo. Like, so much. I'm like, so they're like, you're just going to go in it to make money. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, so you're going to go in, you're going to put people into sleep before surgeries, and boom, you're done. Wow, that sounds pretty gratifying. Woohoo, money. And then there's me. I'm thinking about going to college for theater, and it's like, oh, whoa, let's see. You're going to either become an actor or you're not going to make any money whatsoever. And I'm like, woohoo, choices, woohoo. Look at this. Yeah. I'm going to make so much money, yo.
Yeah, yeah. Me personally, I couldn't stand doing anything that I didn't want to do. I only want to do what I actually really want to do. And I don't think that that's stupid in any way, even though it definitely is. I just don't really know why, because, I'm blind to that, because I don't want to look at it, because that scares me. I want to do something involving music in my life, but, I mean, with how many musicians there are, it's kind of hard to make a living playing guitar, especially, since there's a lot of guitarists, but it's just, why not both? Why not have something that you do to make money, and then something that you do for love, and just have both? I mean, I don't see that they would have to strictly conflict. I'd say that there's definitely, like, time for both, if you measure it out right.
I think we should all shoot for both. Yeah. Or not even both, we should shoot for the just one thing that makes us happy, and then we can make money at, and I think that would be great. But you know what, sometimes we just can't always get what you want.
Then if everybody did that, who would there be who worked for the insurance company?
Someone who loves insurance.
Yep.
The guy who really enjoyed those the gecko from the Geico commercial.
Dude takes all types to make up this world, man.
So, do we have career days at school? What do you guys think?
Oh my. Career days, I mean, it shows you a really, really narrow range of really broad careers.
Sure.
It just takes you and it shoves a bunch of people in your face telling you that you need to become, like, I don't know, a zoologist because you're going to make so much money and you're going to love animals and that's how it's going to be and you better go do it. No, I don't know, I don't know. Yeah.
The only really career days that I remember, off the top of my head are like college career days. Mm-hmm. And you take your little trip down to like Mendocino College or whatever. Yeah. And they have all these tables set up and it's basically just like, so are you going to college or are you not going to college? Okay. I'm not going to college. Okay. Well, do you want to become a firefighter, a forest ranger? Do you want to join the army? Or there's also college over there, and that's basically what's on these tables.
Yeah, they basically tell you that you're not going to amount to much of anything if you don't go to college. It's weird.
Yeah, you don't go to college, guess what you do? You work at fast food restaurants, or, you know. And even then, you go through college, you could still be working at fast food restaurants or stuff to make money, you know, because you can't find a job right away as soon as you come out of college. Which is, you know, when in my opinion, you go through college, you should find, like, a career that, you know, even if you're going to go, that you don't, if I mean, you could go through the college, you get a career, and you can just get out of college into that career. And, you know, you could do it for enough time, save money, and then go back to college if you don't like the career. But it's a time where you can, like, you know, learn one career. And, you know, there's some things, you basically, you come out of college, and you get the career, like, you know. You go through, you know, the Mendocino College, they have a solar program, and it's basically you go through and you become like a solar electrician. You can now put in solar panels connected to the grid, and it's a decent paying job, and it's, you know, like a 2 year long course, I think, or something. Mm-hmm. And you take the thing, and you take that class, and then afterwards, you're ready to hire. If you, you know, did well in the class, you've got a job. It's because, I mean, it's such a raising thing. Everybody in California is getting solar. There's probably 3 or 4, you know, solar agencies that work in your area. You just, you know, go to and like
kind of having its heyday.
Throw in a resume and you've got a job.
Yeah.
Not to mention, it's kind of interesting how the whole solar panel thing works.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
So we're going to open the phone lines now. The number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about revisioning high schools. What parts of John's talk made you think about your high school experience or that of your children's?
How do you think that schools can cope with the ever-decreasing funds? If you had to cut out parts of high school, what would you remove? What are the most essential parts of high school? What parts of high school develop practical skills, life skills? Should there be a return to emphasizing job skills, like woodworking, culinary arts, auto mechanics, and carpentry?
Should high schools be managed primarily as a preparation for college? Is college prep leaving students graduating from high school with no skills to earn a living? Should high school serve students, community, staff? Who is served? Please join this discussion about revisioning high school. Please call in soon and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and share your opinions. The show ends at 4 o'clock. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Janelle. I actually went to Laytonville High. I graduated in 2007. And I really am excited you guys are doing a show on this. I think it's really great. I just had a couple quick comments. Mm-hmm. My first comment was about, I really like that you guys were just, you know, discussing, for example, you know, working on solar panels. And I think that that's something new that, I mean, you know, it's not something that is really talked about in high schools. And it's a great example of how there are so many other options other than just going to college or working in, you know, like a low paid field, you know, like construction. And those are both, you know, great options, but I really feel like those it's so black and white in high school these days. And, you know, it's really your push to either, these are your options. You can take, you know, AP courses, get into a great college, or you're going to be making minimum wage. And yeah. There are really so many other options that are not really explored, you know, like you were saying with the trade fairs and all the, you know, the career days that you guys do have. There are so many other options that are not really explored. And I think it's just pressure, you know, maybe because of testing, just because of the current economic climate. There's all this pressure to just be focused on not only getting into a four-year university, but getting, you know, into a good college. And honestly, you know, I'm 24 now, and what I've come to realize is that, you know, those two critical years of high school, sophomore, junior year, that you put on your college applications, those are, you know, nothing compared to the rest of the experiences and the rest of the education you'll receive. It's not, it's more persistence that pays off. And I think that's something that employers look at. They don't look at whether or not you managed to get into this great college because you had good grades in high school. It's more, okay, what have you done with your life since then? Have you persevered and continued to push through with your education, you know, even whether or not that means overcoming certain obstacles, if you didn't do great, if you had to attend community college first. I think it's really the persistence that pays off. And so many high schools are just, you know, pushing that you have to do this, you have to take these specific classes, you have to get into a good college, or you're not good enough. And there are so many other options out there other than that I think are not explored. And so I'm really glad that you guys are doing this. You're talking about this. I hope there are teachers out there in Mendocino County. Unfortunately, I don't live in the county anymore. But I hope there are teachers who are listening to this and realizing that, you know, there's a need and kids want this. They want more information about their options.
Mm-hmm.
My second point real quick is just about how you were talking, a lot of the classes are not really applicable to, you know, your lives in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great point. Something that I've definitely noticed, there are many, many courses, like, for example, history or math, to some extent, unless you're going into that field, that are not really, you don't really use those once you graduate high school if you're not, you know, taking those classes through a college.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm currently an educator. I'm working in special ed right now, but I have worked with elementary school and preschool children, as well as tutoring older children. And any class, there is a way to make any class applicable to your life and to your future. And, for example, I took high school economics with Mr. Blassingame when I went to Laneville High. And that sounds like the most boring class you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, can you still hear me?
Yes. Oh, yes, a little bit.
Okay, great. Sorry. And he managed to make that class interesting and, you know, applicable to our lives. He encouraged us every week to, you know, bring in current events so that we would learn not only, you know, the specific economic principles, but how it applied to our lives today and how we could use this information with, you know, real events that were currently going on. And so I just encourage all students to, you know, if you're not getting something out of a class, communicate with your teachers and, you know, let them know that you want more information. Ask them, you know, how, okay, we're learning about the Civil War. how can we apply this to our lives today? Like, how does this relate to current events? And I think that, you know, sometimes teachers, I know after a few years, it gets hard. But when they experience, get that feedback from their students and realize that their students are interested in learning this, but interested in using this information to make their lives better, I think that they will rise to that challenge. So I encourage all of you, if there are any other students listening, to go ahead and let your teachers know that you want more from this class.
Definitely.
And you know what, if they're willing and if they're enthusiastic about their jobs, which I know is difficult, but I really hope all of them are, then they will rise to that occasion and you will get more out of your high school career. So I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for doing the show. I did the show for a couple years when I was in high school, and it's great. I miss it, and I'm glad you guys are keeping up with it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm also from Laytonville, and my children have graduated from there. And I think that we need to talk about options and alternatives in the economy. Wages for homemaking, for instance. Arts and crafts, children, all these things are real. Children come, and then who's going to take care of them? What kind of care are they going to be provided? One of the things that I've told my children is wages for homemaking, that this would be a qualitative leap for the world if women's labor was valued and appreciated for the time that is spent in the home doing the work that needs to be done. In providing quality care for our little ones when they come on. And I think that there's from A to Z would be archaeology, anthropology, biology, botany, chemistry, soils, hydrology, all the things the higher education provides for geology that people are given, and then they graduate, so where are the jobs? And things that we need for sustainable economics and for a world that's will provide a decent living for all of us. Peace is profitable, instead of it just being that 50% of our economic budget is going for war, for bombs and uniforms and prisons. We've got to look at the reality of what capitalism is providing. Communication, peace, diplomacy. I'm throwing out a lot of information right now, and you can play with it as you please when I'm off. But I think that we need options. We need sustainable economics. We need guaranteed income so that people can provide affordable housing, health care, and education for all. We all profit when everybody's fed, clothed, and housed. And we've got to find ways of future sustainability and peace and love and spiritual health and well-being. And I'm really grateful for you guys having the program. Woodshop. Where's Woodshop and Auto Mechanics in the schools? Cars break down. Alternative transportation, you know, alternative energy, tidal power, hydrology. You know, a lot of things I'm throwing out. But you can play with it. We are as bright and as beautiful as we choose to be. And I think that we've got to make it possible for all of us to have these options and choices so that we're not locked into colonialism and destruction, because I'm not on a suicide mission. We've got better things to do. Farming, gardening, you know, these are things that will sustain us in the future. And I think that we need to protect our soils, protect this beautiful region that we live in, the trees, the fish, and our communities. That Laytonville is a wonderful little town, and I'm really grateful that I've been able to raise my kids here, and I'd like to be it continued.
For sure.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A to Z is archaeology and anthropology to zoology, and where are the jobs for the kids that are coming out of school?
Yeah.
And I think that if we can find a way of guaranteed monthly income, that everybody by virtue of birth, when you wake up, you've got a certain amount, children and adults, that if they can spend $69,000 a year to lock prisoners up in prison, where's the $69,000 a year job for the honest good people?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Thank you for your ideas.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes. So our caller has brought up some good points. In that.
Okay, so we have about time for one more caller.
Yeah. She brought up some good
points.
There's
a lot of information to wade through there. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Definitely. Oh, my. Yeah. With the first caller, she talked about how narrow the... How narrow our education actually was, but how applicable it was, and how you could apply it to almost anything.
Yeah.
She also talked about how narrow the job range would be when coming out of high school, and how narrow the job range that they prepare us for is, but how wide the job range actually is. They only tell you that you can either be a lawyer, a doctor, or a wage pusher who's like mining coal. They don't tell you about anything in between, and it's concerning. It's unfair.
I definitely see that just in my everyday, seeing what my friends have done with their lives after they've graduated. I really do wish there. She said it was like black and white, and like the two sides. If there was like a gray area and like a bridging in between, like
rainbow
the school and like the everyday jobs that weren't just McDonald's, like she was saying. Okay. Well, that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your host today has been me, Royce, and...
me, Talon, and...
I'm Teo.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you're interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email Jema at jemashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many more hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX, but instead those of the people who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks, that is March 2nd at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in March.